Hello, friends. Welcome to Read 'Em and Weep. It's me, your host, Sammy, and we have a bit of a bounce back episode this week. I talked a lot on the last episode about my February and how poorly it went. And these hands in this episode all come from the first session that I played in March. They're from the 5-5-10 private game that I've been playing a lot. And I know it's just like arbitrary endpoints and whatnot, but I like using the new month to kind of like psychologically start anew, right? Close the page on the previous month, start from scratch. And that's kind of what my goal was starting out here in this first session. And, you know, just being honest about it, I wasn't very happy with the way that I played in February. Like, I don't think I played awful, but I think I was kind of on autopilot. I wasn't playing my A game. And so one of the things I really wanted to focus on in this session was to go in and play my best. I wanted to leave the session feeling proud of the way I played, which again is something I just didn't really do very much in February. I never left a session and was like, oh yeah, you played so great, Sammy. But you know, it was just against you. And the other thing is, you know, I certainly didn't walk into this session and think, okay, I got to win my money back from February. Like I don't subscribe to that line of thinking. I don't think it really serves you well. That money's gone. Right? It's gone. It's lost. And frankly, I don't really even love the idea of like, oh, I'm up or down. The mindset that I try to take is I'm always even, right? I'm in this moment. I just have as many chips. I just have as much money as I have in this moment, because it's so easy to be like, oh yeah, I'm down in this session, but I'm up for the week, but I'm down for the month, but I'm up for the year. And it's like, you can kind of parse it any way you want and make it fit a narrative that, you know, is either really good for you or destructive to you. But in the end, none of it matters. You're always even. You just have as much as you have now. You know, last month is in the past. And I like I said, I really didn't want to go into the session thinking, oh, I want to have a winning session to start the month, even though obviously it would be nice. But I really just wanted to go in and not be on autopilot. I wanted to go in and play my A game, no matter what the results were, and be able to walk out of the session and be like, you know what? I'm really proud of the way I played. So that was my goal in this session. I have some fun hands from it, and I hope you guys enjoy them. Let's get into the hands. Okay, hand one, 5-5-10 at the private game. Two players limp for $10. They're both bad players, two of the worst players at the table. They both limp for 10 in somewhat early position. And then it gets to this very loose, aggressive guy. I've actually talked about him in previous episodes. I've called him Dick. Dick is on the button, and he makes it 60. Folds around to me. I'm in the second blind. So the second $5 blind. Remember, it's 5-5-10. And I look down at ace king offsuit. I have about 2K-ish, maybe a little more in front of me. And I look down at ace king offsuit. And obviously, I want a 3-bet here. What I don't want to do is flat call out of position and both the limpers call. And then, you know, we're four ways and I have the worst position at the table, like recipe for disaster. Obviously, ace king is a premium hand, especially against a loose aggressive player on the button who's probably raising pretty wide here. So I decide to 3-bet and I make it 250, so a little more than 4x. I think I could go larger here. Like in retrospect, I think going 5x and making it 300 because there was two limpers would be a better plan. But I go a little bit smaller. I go 250 and surprisingly, all three players call. These two yokels who limp for 10 bucks, they both just now call 250 and obviously getting great odds and having ultimate position. The lag, who doesn't like folding in general, calls as well. And we get a situation that I don't love, right? Four ways, I'm out of position. Think I should have gone bigger with the 3-bet here. There's about 1K in the pot and I'm just looking at the dealer and I'm like, come on, man, come on. Give me an ace or a king. Let's do this. And of course, he doesn't do it. Queen 9-3 rainbow. And my ace king whiffs it all. And now it's just like basically check give up time. Queen 9-3 rainbow against three other ranges. It's just this kind of flop is going to interact with their ranges quite a bit. It's going to be hard to fold anybody out. I talked a little bit on the last episode about how when I'm the pre-flop aggressor and then I'm out of position post-flop, I do a lot of checking. I'm going to check here. But I would also be checking probably a lot with my pocket aces, my ace queens, hands like that, with the intention of doing some check calling and some check raising, depending on how the action went. in an upcoming episode, I'll probably go a little bit more into this concept because I actually had somebody DM me about it and I kind of got into the weeds of it about like why I think it's good and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So stay tuned for that on a future episode. Anyways, I'd made it 250 preflop with a three bet with my ace king offsuit. I got three callers behind me. Queen 9-3 rainbow, I check, and the action actually checks through, which I was fairly surprised at. The turn comes an offsuit five, so no help. So queen 9-3 rainbow, five on the turn. I still have nothing with my ace king high. I check, and now the first limper. He's actually the whale from last episode. If you guys remember, there was a hand that I played really shitty. I had 5-6 of diamonds and flopped an open end straight and a flush draw, and he just bet with pocket eights on like a queen high board, and I just called down instead of being aggressive. He made these little small bets with a weak hand, and I ended up not being aggressive on it, and he took a pot from me. It was a hand that I was really upset with myself with. So now when this five falls, the whale bets 275 into 1K, a little more than a quarter pot. Now the guy next to him, the second limper, flat calls the 275. The lag on the button folds and it gets back to me. And obviously I can just fold here. There's a bet and a call in a multi-way pot. Two guys who say they're interested in the pot. I have nothing. And I think folding is super reasonable. And I think in February, I just would have folded. But it ain't February, my friends. It is March. And it is my promise to myself that I'm going to play good. And I'm going to take all the spots. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought this was a spot, right? The whale leads for 275 on a card that really shouldn't help him unless he's got like pocket fives. And I've already let him take a pot from me in the past where he made a small bet with a weak hand that was just kind of like feeling out whether he had the best hand or not. When I easily could have taken the pot away and I didn't, that's not going to happen here. So I remember that hand. I remember his betting patterns, right? He's not one of these sophisticated players that's going to have like small bet sizing on certain board textures, etc. He's just a drooler who's going to bet small when he's got a weak hand and see if it's good. And that I cannot let happen. And the other part of the equation is that the second limper checked through on the flop and then he just calls this guy's bet. If he had a big hand, if he had ace queen or he had a set of nines or something, he's absolutely raising here. Even if he doesn't bet the flop, which he probably does, he's absolutely raising here. So this guy just almost never has a big hand as well. And when I have two guys who I think have weak hands, and I have ace king, which on queen 9-3, you know, it does have some relevant blockers. It does have blockers to king queen and ace queen. So some of the strongest hands that they could have in this situation. And I just decide to fucking go for it. So I check raise to 1K. And the whale shakes his head and throws his hand away. And now the other guy shuffles his cards and hems and haws and looks at me. And he's like, oh, you got something good. And I'm just like, come on, buddy. I know you're going to fold. I know you're going to fold. And he does. He does. He lets go of the hand. And we take down the pot. This was actually a good example of one of those live hacks where my bluff was only $1,000. In relation to the size of the pot, after the preflop action and then the bet and the call, there was more than $1,500. So I wasn't even betting the size of the pot to take it down. I was actually getting pretty good odds on my bluff, even though the absolute value, $1,000, is a lot. So that was a cool way to take advantage of this live hack. And it was just one of those spots where like I just saw the spot, right? I just saw it. I was like, yo, neither of these guys almost ever has a big hand in this situation. And instead of just throwing my hand away, which I think would be super reasonable, I decided, okay, this is my A game. I see a spot. I'm going to take it. And I took down $1,500 that wasn't really rightfully mine just because I saw a cool spot in a multi-way scenario where I was able to pounce on some perceived weakness and take a pot from somebody who otherwise deserved it. So we love to see it. This is the kind of shit I'm talking about. This is the way I like to play poker. You know, not just rely on making hands and having fish pay you off, but like really be in tune with the situations where you can steal some pots and have the courage to actually follow through and pull the trigger. I was able to here, really proud of myself for this hand, allow myself to congratulate myself. Obama putting a medal on himself, dot meme to me. Okay, that's not the only hand that I played pretty good. Stay tuned for hand two. I like this one as well. All right, hand two. 5-5-10, I have taken a break, and this is my first hand back, so I come in from the cutoff and post the straddle for 20. A player in early position, he's not a great player, but he is very kind of loose and sticky. He opens to 60. The hijack directly to my right flats the 60, and it gets to me in the cutoff, and I have ace 10 of clubs. Certainly, I could 3-bet here, but I also have really good position. I almost have the button here because the player on the button is extremely tight and nitty. So he's not going to play a ton of hands. He's just playing super tight. So I think if I flat here, I get ultimate position post-flop quite a bit. I think a 3-bet would also be fine. But the fact that this player, even though he's like loose and kind of sticky, the fact that he opened in early position makes me want a 3-bet less. So I decide to flat here with my ace 10 of clubs. Everybody else does fold, and we go three ways to a flop. I have the best position, and the flop comes jack 8-3 with one club. I have ace 10 of clubs. So I flop okay, right? I flop backdoor clubs. I flop an overcard. I flop, you know, backdoor straight. I have some stuff going for me. The good news is the early position original raiser now checks, and the gentleman in the hijack checks as well, and it gets to me. And I think absolutely this is a good time to start betting. Just with all the things that I have going for my hand, as well as the fact that both players now checked on this flop, I think it's a good time to start going. So there's about 180 in the pot, and I bet 100. The original raiser, the loose, sticky guy, thinks about it, and he check calls the 100, and then the hijack folds. And we go to the turn, and you know, just kind of thinking about what kind of hand the original raiser has where he didn't c-bet on jack 8-3 with two diamonds, one club, but he does check call. I don't know quite what he has, but I know a couple things that he doesn't, because I know he's not a sophisticated player. I know he's not balanced in his checking range. He's not like checking queens here or ace jack or even like jack 10. I just think if he's got a jack, he probably c-bets a ton because he's more of an over c-better than anything. So when he doesn't c-bet, usually he's got dick. And if he had a monster hand, like a set of jacks or something on this type of board, that's like pretty draw heavy. It's got two diamonds. It's got, you know, a jack and an eight. So it's got some straight draws available. I just think he's check raising. He's just like not check calling. So like I said, I don't know quite what he has, but I feel very confident in what he does not have. So my plan is to keep barreling on all turns that improve me. Right? It's jack 8-3, two diamonds, one club. I have ace 10 of clubs. So any card that gives me a straight draw, a queen, a nine, a seven, as well as most clubs in the deck that give me a backdoor flush draw, I'm going to be barreling, and I'm going to be barreling big. He's got about 2K in front of him to start the hand. So he's got about 1850 left here. So he check calls, the pot's about 380, and the turn comes the four of clubs, giving me the backdoor flush. So jack 8-3, two diamonds, and one club. Now the four of clubs come on the turn. I turn a backdoor flush draw with my ace 10 of clubs. He checks again, and now I just feel like his range cannot possibly hold on. You know, I'm going to put immense pressure on it. Even if he's got something like 8X or pocket nines or, you know, pocket sevens or something like that that's getting a little stubborn on the flop, I'm just going to get after it. I'm going to go pot here. So I bet 400 into 380. And if he check calls this, buddy, he's getting the other 1400 and change stuffed in his face on the river. Because I don't think he has a big hand here, I'm going to make him fucking hero call me. Like, let's go. You know, I'm not playing around here. So I bet 400 into 380, and he thinks about it for a little bit, and he folds the hand, and we win. And this is just not a real big hand. But I think it's a good example of hand reading. Like the way I like to hand read is not necessarily trying to figure out what the guy has, but more importantly, figuring out what he doesn't have. And in this situation, again, I just don't think he's got a big hand, whereas I can have a lot of big hands, right? I can have jack eight suited. I can have pocket eights. I can have pocket threes, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I can balance that with like big flush draws, et cetera, that have a lot of equity. So that is like weaker one pair hands just literally cannot hold on. Even though this guy is pretty sticky, you know, it's like, okay, you can be sticky, but when I three barrel in your face and get it all in, what you gonna do, buddy? In this case, he folded, and we love it. And again, this wasn't the biggest pot, but I just think it was a good example of seeing a situation, reading some weakness, and really just getting after it and being aggressive and forcefully taking a pot. Proud of myself for this one. Allow myself to congratulate myself yet again. All right, I got one more hand for you guys on this session. It's going to be a little bonus hand. Stay tuned for that. All right, throw me a freaking bonus hand here. Hand three, it is fairly late in the night and the stakes have changed. We're now playing 5, 10, 25, and it folds around to the cutoff. And the cutoff is a very solid player. He's directly to my right. I'm on the button in this hand. And he is just, like, he's a good player, like really solid, a little ABC, but, you know, he's not really getting out of line. Just, yeah, good, solid tag player. He opens to 80 from the cutoff, and it gets to me on the button, and I look down at 5 deuce of spades. Now, obviously, this is just a straight-up fold. Like, this is not a great hand, but I decide the situation is really good. Even though I've been to this guy's direct left all night, him and I haven't really tangoed. Like, we generally kind of stay out of each other's way. I think there's some mutual respect there. I know he's playing solid cards and good ranges. I think he thinks the same about me. So, you know, we've been playing like 5-6 hours. Like, we really haven't tangoed at all. So he opens to 80 from the cutoff. And I just decide, you know what? This is a really good situation. And I have a hand that he will never expect me to have if I get a good flop. So I have 5 deuce of spades and I 3-bet the button to 275. Now it gets to the guy in the big blind, the $25 blind. It's our whale friend. And he cold calls the 275. And this is like just like him. I mean, the guy's got like 2K in front of him. He's already been stacked once or twice. He's definitely the worst player at the table. And he cold calls the 275. And that now incentivizes the cutoff, the solid player to my right, to also call. So not exactly the situation I was hoping for. I was just hoping that everybody would fold and I'd take down the pot uncontested. It did not turn out like that, and now I got to play my 5 deuce suited in a 3-way pot. Not the best spot. However, we get an amazing flop for the hand. We get jack 4-3 with 1 spade. I have 5 deuce of spades. So this is legit about the best I could ask for, right? Open-ended straight draw that's really, really hidden, and a backdoor flush draw. Both players check to me. There's a little more than 800 in the pot, and I decide to bet 350, a little less than half pot. I want to make a good solid bet that lets people know I mean business, but I can still bet less than half of the pot here and accomplish everything I need to accomplish. Now, the whale has, you know, 1700-ish in front of him. So if he check raises, like, we're just going to get it in. And we'll run it twice, and hopefully I win one. But fortunately, he just folds. So good job, buddy. Way to cold call 275 and just check fold the flop. Appreciate that. Now it gets back to the cutoff and he thinks about it for a minute and he calls. So when he check calls here, he's almost always got some sort of pair. He can have jack X. He can have hands like pocket nines, pocket eights, pocket sevens, et cetera, et cetera. But that's generally about the type of hand that he's going to have. And we are very deep. We both started this hand with about 6K in front of us. So I think this is a spot where I can put a lot of pressure on this guy. However, it ain't going to come to that, my friends, because we bink the turn. It comes the ace of hearts, putting a second heart on board. So we make the nuts with 5 deuce. It was jack 4-3 on the flop, and we bink the straight with an ace on the turn, and now he checks again. And we have, you know, I don't know, 5.5K, a little more than 5K effective here. And I just think, man, like, I want it all, especially if this guy's got something like ace jack. Like, that would be such a fucking dream. Or if he's got a hand like pocket fours or pocket threes where I bet and he check raises, we can just get it all in. Let's go. Like, let's have a night. So I decide to bet 1K, about 2/3 pot into 1500. And he thinks about it for a little bit and he folds the hand. Oh, he folds. It hurts. It hurts because I was literally looking at his stack, just like trying to not visibly drool at the thought of taking it all. But he folds the hand and we take down the pot. So did I play this hand well? I don't especially think so. So I do like that I was aggressive here. I do actually like the spot, but this is just too bad of a hand to be three betting. Five deuce suited. Like, it's a suited two gapper. I mean, if it were something like 10-7 suited or 9-6 suited, I think there's a little better of a case because I want to have a polarized three betting range from the button. Those are kind of hands that are too weak to flat call, but can operate decently as three bets on occasion. And this just seemed to be a good occasion, right? This was a guy who, you know, respects my game. I know he doesn't really want to play out of position against me. I haven't fucked with him all night. Like, I have a lot of credibility, et cetera, et cetera. So the spot's good. I just think the hand is too bad. The other part that I didn't love, I don't love my sizing on the turn. So obviously I hit the nuts and I'm just hoping that we get all of our stacks in and I bet 1K. I don't think this is a good size here. So one thing that I've really been experimenting with that I really like in these sorts of situations where I'm the aggressor and I see bet the flop and the opponent calls and then an ace comes on the turn, an ace specifically, I like betting small on this card. I like betting small with it with my range. I like betting small with it with my ace kings that just hit top pair, top kicker. I like betting small with my bluffs because it just kind of like defines the opponent's range quite a bit better. And if they have a hand like, you know, is Jack 4-3 and then an ace, if he has a hand like pocket nines, pocket eights, he's going to have to fold that to a smaller bet like 500-600. And if he just calls there and doesn't put in a check raise, a lot of the time I can put in now a big ass bet on the river and accomplish a lot better that way, if that makes sense. So I think that my bet sizing was a little overzealous here. I mean, the reality is, if he's got the kind of hand that I'm hoping he has so that I can stack him, the ace jacks and the sets, he's going to check raise the small bet just the same. And we're going to get it all in on the river just the same. I don't need to make a big bet here and really like fold out all the rest of the parts of his range with that kind of sizing, right? I can accomplish the same thing with a smaller bet. So in fact, like if I bet big, he might not check raise some of those hands. He might not check raise like pocket fours thinking, wow, I mean, pocket fours is great, but like this guy could have a set of jacks or a set of aces. So I'm just going to play a little more cautiously. Whereas if I bet smaller, he's definitely going to check raise, or at least he's going to check raise at a much higher frequency. So I think my sizing was off here. Again, I don't think it was a terribly played. Again, I don't think it was like a terribly played hand, but if I'm going to nitpick myself, I just think there were a couple decisions in this hand that I could have made a little bit better, and maybe it makes the difference, right? Say he's got something like King Jack. Maybe he peels the turn again with a smaller card. Maybe he hits trips or two pair, and then I get a big ass bet off of him on the river. You know what I mean? So not to be results oriented, but I just think thinking through it and understanding that betting small on turn aces when I'm the aggressor is something that I've been playing with anyways. I think that that would have been a better course of action here. And I'm disappointed in myself. It's not that often where you actually get there with fucking five deuce suited. You know what I mean? So you want to make the most of it when it happens. And I think the way to make the most of this was to bet a little bit smaller on the turn. Alas, I'm not going to fully fire myself into the sun because I played aggressively and I played well, had a really good session, won a little bit more than 5K in this session, really helps take the edge off a shitty February to start the month off like that. So congratulations to me. And most importantly in this session, I really did feel like I played well. Like when I left the session, I was like, good job, Sammy. Like you played aggressively, you played decisively. This is how it needs to be moving forward. Like no fucking prisoners. You know what I mean? Like no autopilot, crush everybody, take every spot that you can and see where the chips fall. And in this session, they fell pretty well. And I feel good about just like keeping that going, moving forward and having a great March and putting February to bed, burying it 6 feet under and never thinking about it again. All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Really appreciate you. If you have a free minute, it's been a while since I asked, please leave me a star rating or a review on your favorite podcast app. That would really go a long way toward helping the podcast, and I'd really appreciate it. Anyways, I appreciate you guys tuning in, and until next week, my friends, play good and run pure.